time for a review of the top five things that happened on the Dave and Darren in the Morning Show on Planet 93.9. Keep in mind, this is our opinion of what the top five things are. It's possible that you can hear something and think, oh, that was great, and it doesn't make the podcast. You know, art, and that's what we do every morning from 5:30 to 10. It's art, and art is subjective. But we feel this is some of the strongest stuff that we got done on our show. Yeah? Is that fair?
I think that's more than fair.
Do you think it's likely that sometimes someone will hear something live
yeah.
and then think, wow, I can't wait to hear that again on the Top 5 Things podcast. And then they listen to it and they go, where was the thing that I liked?
Yeah, it's like going to see some sort of music artist, some sort of rock star at a concert and go, why didn't they play that song?
Right. So I guess that's the problem with being as gifted as we are, is that really you're only getting the full picture and all of the genius if you listen to the whole show. So this is not purporting to be everything, just the top five things and the top five things in our viewpoint. I think I've set it up perfectly. Where should we start?
Let's see. Counting backwards, I would say number one.
One.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
I want to start this story by being very careful and saying that I am certain that the vast majority of male fertility doctors are not using their own sperm to impregnate women.
Here's hoping.
But it sure seems like there's a lot of stories of male fertility doctors using their own sperm to impregnate women. Almost like that's the whole reason they got into the game. I can't tell you how many times, trying to get the show together, there's a story of a doctor in a fertility game who's accused of using his own seed.
It's as if the owner of the karaoke machine is only here because they want to be able to sing some songs.
What an apt analogy. What an apt analogy. Boy, that guy is really hogging the machine. Yeah, and we're paying him to be here.
Why is it that every hitman that you hire is actually an undercover cop?
So the vast majority of fertility doctors are doing good work.
Allegedly.
But there are, it just seems like an awful lot that this is nothing new. A New York fertility doctor accused of using his own sperm to impregnate several patients. What's different about this story, though, is...
But now he's dead.
Yeah. Died over the weekend when his hand-built airplane fell apart mid-flight and crashed.
That's my dad.
Mine, too.
Me, too.
All of our dads. Hand-built airplane. Mm. I'm not comfortable with those words being together in a sentence. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's like the sort of thing I thought about when I was five.
I'm going to build an airplane.
Right,
with one of your mother's laundry baskets and some 2x4s your dad's not using. That's adorable.
Yeah, I gave up that idea after age five.
Right. Well, this guy, he had bigger plans. Dr. Morris Wortman, 72 years old, a passenger in an experimental aircraft.
The Wortman School of Aviation.
Went down on Sunday in a pasture in Orleans County, New York. The pilot, Earl Luce Jr., was also killed.
What's the guy's name?
Earl Luce Jr.
Earl Luce Jr.
Welcome on board this handmade craft, Dr. Wortman. We're going to be getting you up here in a minute, and we're going to be flying over some pastures.
You might remember my father, Earl Luce Sr.
The crash of the aircraft, identified by the National Transportation Safety Board as a Whitman W5 Buttercup airplane,
remained under investigation. This whole story sounds very made up. Is AI just writing the news now? I can't believe any of this.
Your field is in my buttercup.
Preliminary findings indicate that the wings of the aircraft became detached from the fuselage. That's not the best. I don't know a lot.
So we're now a missile. We're no longer a plane. We're a missile.
Hello.
Hey, Earl Luce Jr.
Can you hear me, Earl Luce Jr.?
Hey, Earl Luce Jr., it looks like we've somehow lost both of the wings. Yeah, is that going to be a problem?
This is no longer a flight.
No. No. What we are is a rocket ship going the wrong way. The fuselage continued west for another 1,000 to 1,500 yards before it crashed. Wortman was a well-known OBGYN in Western New York who was often the target of anti-abortion protesters. He was sued in 2021 by the daughter of one of his patients who became pregnant in the 80s. The lawsuit said the doctor secretly used his own sperm while telling the patient the donor had been a local medical student.
She became pregnant in her 80s?
No, in the 1980s.
Okay. I was going to say, he's good at what he does.
He gets results. You may not care for his methods.
But, good Lord.
He gets results. Well, the lawsuit said he used his own sperm. The doctor even kept the secret even after the daughter, his biological offspring, became his own gynecology patient.
What?
There's a lot going on there. It's probably best just to focus on the flight rather than all this
can you hear me?
Sorted OBGYN.
Can you hear me, Earl Luce Jr.?
Yes, I can hear you, Dr. Morris Wortman.
We're no longer a plane, are we? Apparently. Apparently we're not.
This isn't going to end well, is it, Earl Luce Jr.?
No, it's not. That's well said.
What's happening, Earl Luce Jr.? Hey,
what is your take on this?
Hey, Earl Luce Jr., I hate to be a negative Nancy sitting here in the back seat, but it sure looks to me like we've lost both of our wings. Yeah. I know a lot about impregnating people, this seems like it's not the best for our flight. Yeah, that's why they call me Earl Luce Jr. Everything I attach to the fuselage is a little loose. And,
some of a playboy myself.
Uh-huh.
The wings have fallen off. Don't suppose you have any sperm that can help us out of this jam?
No!
I don't have that much jam.
That's not how that's not how anything works. What's the matter with you? No, I can't sperm my way out of this one.
Is there any chance your sperm could cushion the fall?
No! That's not how anything works.
Save an egg for me.
I don't make eggs. I'm a fertility doctor. What is it that you think I do at the Wortman Clinic?
You better explain it quickly.
We don't have a lot of time for this conversation, Dr. Wortman. We've reached what we call in the handmade aircraft game terminal velocity.
Critical mass.
That big green thing coming at us is the planet Earth.
It's all-encompassing, isn't it, Doctor?
You fool, Earl Luce Jr. I knew I never should have gotten in this handmade buttercup aircraft with you. Well, obviously, the Dave and Darren show extends our thoughts and prayers to all involved in this tragic, tragic accident. We're not here to make fun. We're here to...
Dios con Dios.
We're here to lift everyone up. With prayer. All right, we're gonna Yes. A flight of angels. Sing thee to thy
truly
rest.
Truly a flight of fancy.
Earl Luce Jr. and Dr. Morris Wortman. Gone too soon.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
Here's more reasons to never go on a cruise ship. The Carnival Sunshine over Memorial Day weekend hit by a severe storm, and it's said to be, by at least one passenger, the worst experience of all time.
Well, that's what you hear every time someone goes on a cruise.
William B. Blackburn tells CNN, quote, "It was terrifying. We stayed in our cabin and we prayed we'd be okay."
And you're going to save up for years for that?
He said that they had to make sure they knew where the life jackets were, although they, quote, discussed the fact that it would be very unlikely to survive in the water, even with life jackets. And they doubted...
You know, we'll never make it.
They doubted that the lifeboats could even be launched under those conditions. Blackburn, not the only passenger of the Carnival Sunshine that feared for their life. Another passenger says here, quote, "I'm surprised I'm still alive." He said his fellow passengers were all white as ghosts when they finally got off the ship.
You're still convinced you're not going to make it after you're already safe. Oh, we still don't stand a chance.
I still don't feel like we're out
of the
woods.
You know, we'll never make it.
I don't feel like we're out of the woods here. Turn back, Gulliver.
We're on
Turn back. We'll never make it.
We're on dry land.
This
still seems...
It's not adding up.
Sketchy.
This one fella here says at one point a wave broke the window in his cabin, which then let water in.
Yeah, that would happen.
Looking at videos here, his cabin, not the only one that got waterlogged. There's just water all in the hallways here. The crew from decks 0 to 4 had to evacuate to the theater. Anywhere they could find. The crew bar was destroyed. Oh, not the crew bar. This is not a relaxing, family-friendly vacation. Now, there were not any reports of serious injuries or deaths, but your vacation's ruined when you're spending a good portion of it certain you're going to die. One passenger saying here, "When I got home Sunday night, I had to crack open a beer and think about it, and I started shaking because it just set in. I couldn't even believe I'm still here." Wow.
I'll never get in a bathtub again.
No, thanks. There was the story, a Bahamas cruise ship. There was a bunch of graduating, I think they were high school kids. They just graduated high school.
Kids?
Yeah.
Their senior trip is on a cruise?
In the Bahamas, they went on a cruise ship. And this 18-year-old kid jumped overboard without a life jacket because he was dared to do it. So you're out in the ocean, and your classmates are like, "Bet you won't dive in." And he goes, "Watch me." He had just graduated from high school, was seen in his trunks before he disappeared. They're yelling at the kid, "Oh, grab a boy, grab a boy." They couldn't find him. And now he's dead. U.S. Coast Guard dispatched to look for the missing teenager, but the search was called off.
How do you think he was going to get back on the boat?
I don't know. I don't think he was thinking a lot about a lot of things. Then there's this story of a man who plunged to his death on his first ever cruise over the weekend. Plunged into the ocean to his apparent death after falling from his cabin's balcony on his first ever cruise. His wife says of him that he was, quote, "the life of the party." Jenilyn Michelle Bloser spoke to reporters, telling them the man who went overboard is her husband, Ronnie Lee Pearl Jr. She described him as the life of the party.
He was a real life boy.
And said that it had been his first cruise, but that he had loved it so much, she was, quote, "sure he would have been willing to do one monthly."
One monthly? What?
You know, this was Ronnie's first ever cruise, but he was having so much fun. I bet I could have got him on one of these boats once a month.
Coast Guard confirming they are searching for the 35-year-old man who went overboard off
35?
A Carnival Cruise Line ship 186 miles east of Jacksonville, Florida.
Isn't 35 about the time that you're probably, your earning potential is probably...
Yeah, I don't know.
Right where it should be.
I don't know, at 35 I would have been complimented by someone telling me I was the life of the party, but different strokes. Yeah, they show this guy leaning. Oh, there's footage here. Closed circuit TV footage. Not closed captioned. You just don't read Kerplunk on the screen. They have video
footage.
It did
say Kerplunk.
There's video showing Ronnie leaning over the railing of his cabin's balcony before dropping into the sea. Cruise line saying they're providing support to the guest's companion and traveling party who are still on board. Because you know what? This is what Ronnie would have wanted.
We'll do what we can.
Other passengers reported hearing Ronnie's name called repeatedly as his loved ones and crew tried to find
him. You know, I think I could have talked him into not saving a dime for our retirement.
We could have done this once a month.
Once a month.
So now there's a GoFundMe set up.
I think I could have talked him into maxing out every one of our credit cards.
I don't think they were married, because she has just set up now a GoFundMe here where she describes Ronnie as someone who loved to make friends with everyone. She writes here on the GoFundMe, quote, "Hi, this is Jenny Lynn, also known as Ronnie's lover. We want to..." "Hi, this is Jenny Lynn, also known as Ronnie's lover. We went on a cruise to celebrate my birthday.
And he fell in.
And sadly, he went overboard and has not been recovered. Okay, I'm going to be an absolute jerk here. You're not getting him out of the ocean. What do you need money for? This is taking care of itself. There's not going to be any expenses, any funeral expenses.
No, it was burial at sea.
Davy Jones' locker is taking care of this problem for you. She says he was the life of the party. Quote, "He loved the cruise life. Being able to..."
He'd only been there for a day.
"But he loved it so. Could have got him to do this once a month if I wanted. Quote, "He loved the cruise life. Being able to drink, gamble, and socialize put him in his happy place. This was his first cruise, and I'm sure he would have been willing to do one monthly." In the fundraiser here, she adds that although it was unfortunate that this was his first ever cruise, she wants you to know that, quote, "He had a great time and made plenty of friends." You had a good time.
Now listen, I'm more than willing to make donations to certain, certain causes.
Yeah, like people that don't have homes because their apartment collapsed in the middle of the afternoon.
But not this cause.
No. I won't be giving this one a dime. Quote, "This was Ronnie's first cruise, and thankfully he had a great time and made plenty of friends." I'd say he had a great time until he didn't. "It was going great up until the time he fell off."
Oh, he loved the shrimp. All of the shrimp.
"He was having a lot of fun until he didn't."
You could almost say he fell for the shrimp.
Oh, Ronnie. Why did he explode when he hit the water like that?
Why did he explode?
He'd been gambling and drinking, and it was really more shrimp than man when he hit that water. He was full of deadly mixture of
shrimp and dynamite,
Kahlua and cocktail sauce. This was Ronnie's first cruise, and thankfully he had a great time and made plenty of friends. He is our social butterfly that was always on the move and loved to make friends with everyone. This cruise was definitely a place he enjoyed. I never could have imagined something like this could happen. Devastated, to say the least. Carnival Cruise Line, for their part, says Carnival Magic has reported a man overboard to the U.S. Coast Guard. He was reported missing by his companion late Monday afternoon, and an initial review of closed-circuit security footage confirms that he leaned over the railing of his stateroom balcony and dropped into the water at approximately 4:10 a.m. early Monday morning.
4:10?
Wow. Yeah. Just
totally nailed the landing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, so this happened Monday morning, and she's got the GoFundMe out looking for money for...
when they notify the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Coast Guard's like, duly noted.
All right, we're going
to
give a...
you guys going to do anything about it? What is there to do?
What do you want us to do?
What do you want us to do? Duly noted.
It seems like...
Written it down right here. I've logged it.
Yeah. No, that's... We just have a book that we keep.
Just right there.
Really more of a binder.
Another dummy fell off a boat.
Another drunken Ronnie hitting the water. They're always named Ronnie for some reason. Well, again, Dave and Darren hopes to lift these people up with our thoughts and prayers because they're hurting. Had it. Great time, though. First cruise, he loved it. He loved the cruise life. Up until
he didn't.
I'll tell you what, man, that Atlantic Ocean is undefeated. Everyone who tries to take it on, that thing is like 2 billion and 0.
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
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 I have a reverse hold on to your cat story.
Huh.
Yeah. Let the cat go.
Let the cat go.
Yeah, this isn't great.
Get rid of the cat.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to say this. Someone needs to take this cat out.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to say.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a Florida story because, of course, it is.
Florida.
A elusive cat terrorizes a Florida neighborhood. It's already sent two people to the emergency room.
Yeah. All right, tell me more.
Cat roaming the streets of this Florida neighborhood, terrorizing residents. The cops have yet to catch it. This is in Lauraville, Florida, which is in Suwanee County. It's an angry domestic cat.
All right, so it's just a cat. It's not a big cat.
No, this isn't a bobcat or a tiger or...
Mountain lion?
No. No, this isn't Petticoat Peak.
That's big cat country.
This is Lauraville, Florida. Local law enforcement has laid cat traps to catch the elusive creature, but they have not, in the last week, nabbed this animal. They say it's unclear whether this is a feral cat or an escaped pet who may have developed rabies.
Are we sure it's not a drifter?
Loner. I don't know, cat usually kept to itself. They're going to find a manifesto somewhere in a cat box. I'll post on the sheriff's Facebook page here, says, during two separate incidences, residences exercising and walking on 174th Street were attacked by a feral cat. Both residents received injuries serious enough that they had to seek medical treatment at local hospitals.
Another good reason to wear jeans.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Go jogging in Florida wearing a pair of 501s.
I bet I wouldn't be the only one.
They're hopeful that they can catch this animal soon. And then they'll be able to shed more light on the situation. But they're warning residents to exercise extreme caution when outdoors until then.
Put some jeans on.
Go running around in a Florida neighborhood in a pair of jeans. Enjoy the rash.
Just like the summer of 77 in New York City.
People have been hospitalized as a result of this thing. stalking the neighborhood. No thanks. That's what I call
an attention getter.
Mm-hmm. Last month, there were videos of in a Jacksonville, Florida neighborhood.
Florida.
There was a pack of aggressive dogs that were roaming the streets and going after people. The Animal Care and Protective Services finally removed that pack of aggressive dogs from a neighborhood. The dogs killed a bunch of cats and at one point prompted a lockdown at an elementary school. Can you imagine being told you can't leave school on account of there's angry dogs out? No thanks. If you were a parent of a kid, you got a message on your phone from the school district that said the school is on a code yellow lockdown due to reports of approximately 5 dogs that were seen on our campus who appear aggressive. All students and staff are safe inside the school building. At this time, the dogs do not appear to be on the campus, but their exact whereabouts are unknown.
Who was the kid that was like, was it the 1980s or something, when there was a kid that they had a show that he was raised by dogs?
What?
What was that called?
Was it a real TV show or did it really happen?
I think it really happened.
Why was he raised by dogs? It was a show in the 80s?
Something like that. Do I have that wrong? What was it?
There's a story of a girl who was raised by dogs. And it says here she's still living with the consequences of that. Well, this is a terrible story. Animals tried to protect her from authorities. Oksana Malaya was discovered in Ukraine back in 1994. According to reports, a neighbor noticed that there was a little girl living in the woods, and they contacted the authorities. When she was discovered, she was living with a pack of wild dogs. The dogs instinctively protected Malaya from the officers, having accepted her into their pack. They had to be bribed with treats so authorities could take her.
Yeah, look the other way.
They think she was living with the dogs for roughly 5 years.
Not Lucan. Who was it? Something.
This was an American that was raised by dogs?
Well, it was just a show.
But it was a drama?
I think so. I would have thought it would have been the sort of thing that
you... Are you thinking of Manimal?
Not Manimal.
So what was being raised by dogs, what did it do for him? Did he have, like, special abilities, or was he able to solve crimes?
He was very dog-like, I guess.
This was a comedy show or a drama?
I don't think it was a comedy.
And he had magical powers because of the dogs? Because was he able to, like...
Maybe.
Smell better than us, or the boy who was raised as a dog.
TV show.
Yeah, if anybody knows what Darren's talking about.
Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've never.
I would have thought you would have known.
This, Lucan, the boy who was raised by a dog.
Is that what it was? It sounds like. No,
that's what you're saying.
Something like that.
But you're not. You're not thinking of Luca, the boy that was abused in the apartment building.
No, not talking about the song.
Different Luca.
Different, something like Lucan or something.
Okay, here we go. Lucan was a TV show that was on the ABC television network in 1977 to 1978.
Okay, I missed it. I thought it was the 80s.
A 20-year-old man, who played by Kevin Brophy, spent the first 10 years of his life running wild in the forests of northern Minnesota after being raised by wolves.
Wolves, even better.
Lucan is taken to wolves, the dogs of the forest. Lucan is taken to a research institute and taught the ways of human society. He's befriended by a kind researcher, Dr. Hoagland, with whom he bonded during his journey to civilization.
Uh-oh.
Lucan's continued freedom at the research center is put in peril once his doctor, friend, and mentor is hurt. Unable to ensure Lucan's well-being at the institute, his friend encourages him to strike out on his own in search of his identity and family. The series chronicled these encounters, challenges, and intrigues Lucan faced interacting with people using his new learned social graces and old wolfen instincts. He's also pursued by a bounty hunter who's hired to bring him back to the...
Why?
Because he escaped from the... Institute. The Institute. The Wolf Boy Institute. The last four episodes of the series altered the premise to reveal that Lucas was actually on the run from the police for a crime he didn't commit.
Well, there's a lot going on.
What? And they changed the bounty hunter to a police lieutenant who was charged with bringing Lucan in for a trial on a murder case. As well as being unusually strong and agile, Lucan possessed special wolfen skills that appeared in emergency situations.
I can go wolf real quick if I have to.
You don't want to see me when I'm wolfy.
All right, that wasn't too far off.
When he's upset to the point of violence, his eyes would glow amber. He also had heightened senses of smell and hearing. In a few episodes, he was able to call in his old wolf family for backup. The show also starred Ned Beatty and Stockard Channing. Wow.
Now you got some.
Now you're talking. All right. Well, I can't believe this is a thing. All right. Well, I have to look this up.
I don't know if Ned Beatty can imitate a wolf or not. I know he can do a pig.
The guy who played Luke in The Wolf Boy, was it a year or two ago?
Yeah.
Somebody died, and they left half his fortune to this guy because he really liked the show Lucan.
Well, there you go. Lucan meant something to me.
This guy wrote, the show really resonated with this fella. A guy's name was Ray Fulk. He was an eccentric who left a fortune to two actors he never met.
Just out of the blue, you
Peter
get a
Barton
check.
From The Young and the Restless and Kevin Brophy from Lucan, The Wolf Boy. He wrote fan letters to Lucan, The Wolf Boy, and kept a Lucan poster on the wall of his farmhouse many years after the show was canceled.
Oh, boy.
For Ray, dogs were like family, and the wolves may have been why he liked that show so much. Uh-huh. Ray lived alone and died in the summer of 2021. His parents were dead. He had no close family. He never married. He bathed in a salt creek when it wasn't frozen and wasn't much of a housekeeper.
Okay. Not much of a housekeeper?
So he left. Ray.
Just out of nowhere, you get a check.
Ray would wander around the grounds wearing an Indian wig.
How do you make his money?
And he liked to drink wild turkey mixed with raspberry Gatorade.
Oh, boy.
Whenever Ray argued with his parents, he said he was going to get a loaf of bread, but then he ran away and ended up in Pennsylvania.
He did that every time? I'm going to go get a loaf of bread. That means he's going to Pennsylvania. Dutch country.
Kevin Brophy says, yeah, I got some things from the executor of the will. I have his scrapbook. It contains pictures of Lucan and letters he'd written to me along with my answers. I always answered my fan mail. Wow. So he got half of this guy's fortune all these years after the show was over.
See, it pays to be in Lucan.
Wow. I was Lucan. This guy had a poster of me on his farmhouse. You walk around in an Indian wig drinking just wild turkey and raspberry Gatorade.
Consider yourself lucky he didn't turn you into a lamp.
Wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. That's quite a payday.
Quite a payoff.
I mean, I think if I were this guy, I'd be like, I don't need to know all the details.
No,
I'm glad he liked the show.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't love that I was on a poster in a farmhouse.
Oh, this was a close call. And there's probably more of you out there.
Oh, no. I'm fine with you people leaving me money in your will, but... Yeah,
let's just leave it at that.
A lot of these details I'd rather not know.
Four.
Interesting case here in a medical journal. Bezoar. Any idea what a bezoar is? This is a word that I just learned.
Bezoar.
A bezoar is a collection of indigestible material that's found in your gastrointestinal tract that has become large enough that it won't pass through the rest of your intestinal system.
Well, you don't want that.
Bezoars can be caused by both food and non-food materials.
Now, what non-food materials are you swallowing?
Well, in this case, a 5-year-old boy shows up at the emergency room. He was complaining of two things. One, of course, abdominal pain.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue he had was diarrhea. Because, of course, I mean, when in doubt.
Diarrhea.
He had reportedly swallowed a large quantity of chewing gum a day before he showed up at the ER. They did a CT scan on this kid, and there it was, the gastric bezoar, due to him swallowing all that chewing gum. This kid swallowed a lot of gum.
Take it easy there, Bazooka Joe.
He just kept chewing and chewing and swallowing and swallowing. To the point where he ate an entire pack of gum. It says here, 40 pieces of sugar-free gum in one day.
Now, did you ever swallow gum as a kid?
Of course I did.
Do you still do it?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. No. But I think swallowing gum as a kid was just a matter of, well, you were either chewing gum in class, and there was no way to get rid of it without drawing attention to the fact that you were chewing gum in class, right? Or there just was nowhere to put it, you know? It's just, you're out in the dirt trails on your BMX bike. I'm not going to spit my gum. That's irresponsible. But sure, I used to swallow gum a ton. Not 40 pieces in a day. 40 pieces of sugar-free gum. The patient chewed a piece, then swallowed it, then chewed another piece, and then swallowed it until the entire pack of gum was gone. The patient's mother called poison control. I think my son's been poisoned by the gum. And they said, listen, go to the emergency room if he starts to have abdominal pain. Well, he sure did. Multiple episodes, it says here, of non-bloody loose stools. He was able to eat breakfast, but then things got real bad. And he started to have a little bit of a fever. His blood pressure went, you know, a little cuckoo. And they ended up having to...
What did he have for breakfast? 10 flapjacks?
Made out of Hubba Bubba and Big League Chew, if you please.
Pound of bacon?
Just throw it on top there. What are you going to do?
I have a big appetite in the morning.
You know what? I could eat something other than gum for once. How about some Belgian waffles?
That's almost as sweet as gum.
They ended up treating this kid using endoscopy. That was a safe option. They decided the mass of chewing gum, they figured it wasn't going to dissolve. They said he wasn't in any imminent risk of damage to the surrounding organs. They didn't have to perform, surgery, but you do have to go in and get that massive wad of gum. It says here, while many cases involve portions in the upper GI tract, especially the stomach, any part of your gastrointestinal system is vulnerable to a bezoar. This is evidence in the study where there were different cases of chewing gum bezoars. In one study, two of the bezoars, these are, again, big just clumps of food that can't leave your body. In one of the cases where a kid had too much chewing gum and it couldn't work its way out, it says here, the bezoars, two of the cases, the chewing gum was found in the rectum.
Rectum damn near killed them.
Like it almost made its way out, but then it couldn't. And then another one where it was lodged in the kid's esophagus.
Have you eaten anything, Timmy, that you shouldn't have? A frisbee.
The rectal bezoars were removed by manual disimpaction after failure to mobilize them through less invasive manners. Well, yeah, basically what they're saying is they used laxatives, they used enemas, but the gum was stuck in both of these kids' butts. So then they had to go up there and just grab it and yank it out. No thanks. How'd your summer vacation go? Well, they had to yank a couple of pounds of gum out of my butt.
I know what you did this summer.
Thank you.
They used to tell us to make sure that we didn't swallow gum.
Yeah.
That it took 7 years for you to digest gum, right?
Something like that.
That if you swallow gum, it's going to be in your stomach for 7 years. And I remember when they told me that as a kid thinking, I got 7 years. What's...
I think I could do that.
Right? That's no big deal.
7 years? I'm only 6 years old.
Exactly.
What? I don't even understand what you're saying. Concept of what you're talking about.
The gum base is insoluble. Just like popcorn kernels or seeds, our bodies don't possess enough digestive enzymes to break down gum. So while it will stick to your shoe, gum does not stick to your stomach or your stomach wall. It does not hang around. It does the same thing that
that's why I like
a popcorn kernel or corn would do.
Introduce additional enzymes into my system.
It will not damage your digestive system if you were to swallow a piece of gum. However,
that's a close one.
Now, the thing in this kid's case, you got to consider. They say artificial sweeteners in sugar-free gum, and that's what this was: 40 pieces of sugar-free gum. Mm-hmm. Those artificial sweeteners can cause nausea, headaches, and, of course, diarrhea. So it's harmless unless you do a lot of it, and that's what happened in this kid's case and in the other kids' cases where they had a bezoar full of all the gum that they swallowed. Hey, how come you weren't at school yesterday? I got you your homework. What happened? Were you sick?
I swallowed Stretch Armstrong.
Number five.
Got a review of some people who are looking for some advice from advice columnists.
And that was good advice. Good advice. Good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
Yeah, they find themselves in a situation where they need some advice, but they don't have any friends or family they can talk to, so they write a letter to a person that works for a newspaper or a website.
I need help.
Mm-hmm. Help me figure this out. Should I tell my friend that the guy I set her up with isn't asking her out again because she ordered a glass of milk at a bar? I'm a married woman, and I just set up a single male coworker and
what
a single...
What are you doing ordering milk in a bar?
I'm a married woman, and I just set up a single male coworker and a single female friend of mine on a blind date. He's a sharp guy who's traveled the world and knows all about fine foods, wines, classical music, designer labels, what have you. She's a stunningly beautiful and intelligent artist. I really thought they'd make a great couple. Immediately after their date, my friend thought it had gone well and was very excited. Mm-hmm. On Monday morning, I asked my coworker, and he said my friend was attractive and a nice person, but he would not be asking for a second date.
She turned this thing into Clockwork Orange on me.
My friend has been bewildered by her difficulty in finding a steady relationship. So I pressed him as to why. He told me they went to a swanky bar and she, wait for it, ordered a plain glass of milk. He found this so clueless and childish that he couldn't imagine being with her. Now, my friend is neither a big drinker nor a teetotaler, just someone who's going to order what she wants without worrying what others think. Should I tell her why she won't be hearing from this guy again so she can reconsider ordering milk on dates in the future? Should I tell him how ridiculous he is for judging someone on something so petty? If you went on a blind date and your date ordered a glass of milk, what would your take be on that? I think I would dig that.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker.
I mean, you know you're in for something like, a little different.
Yeah, this is... Can I get you some Nesquik?
I need this from osteoporosis. Yeah, well, as you can imagine, the advice columnist in this case says that, look, your friend doesn't need to hide who she is when she's on dates. The idea here is not to fake a personality so she can get paired up with someone who you think is a fit for her. It's to keep being herself until she comes across someone who is actually right for her.
Is milk readily available at a bar?
I mean, they must use it as ingredients in some things, or I don't know why you would have milk at a swanky bar. And do you order like a, well, give me the 2%, please. Do you have any 2% here? My mind went to the same place. Maybe she's a Clockwork Orange fan. Although, weren't there also some like psychedelics in the milk? They weren't just drinking milk.
Perhaps.
How can I get my daughter-in-law, who's a stay-at-home mom, to drive several hours a week to take care of my mom? I'm going to read that again because it takes some turns. How can I get my daughter-in-law, who is a stay-at-home mom, to drive several hours a week to take care of my mother? My mom is 78 years old. She's 78 years old, and she requires 24/7 care. I am working full-time. My son and daughter live about 2 hours away with their two kids. My son's a doctor, and my daughter-in-law quit working when she was pregnant with their oldest. Since she quit, I've been asking every few months whether she can come by once or twice a week to watch my mother. They always say no. When I was there last month, I sat them down and asked why my daughter-in-law is so unwilling to help with my mother when she's not working. I feel I am owed an explanation. They did not give me one, but offered a substantial check for home health aid. My mother is adamant that we do not hire strangers to put her in a home. My son knows this, so I don't understand the money.
I took the check.
I also know how his education was expensive. Their house is new and she doesn't work. Where's all this money coming from? I don't feel like this
Where's all this money coming from? Yeah. He's a doctor.
Yeah, but his education was expensive. Their house is new and she doesn't work. Where's all this money coming from? I don't feel like this is all adding up. What do I do now?
Take the check.
In this case, the advice given is stop thinking your daughter-in-law's time or anyone's time is yours to schedule or their money is yours to parse. How about this one? Is there a polite way for me to insult my neighbors on social media?
Because I sure like to.
Our new neighbors are well known for being troublemakers. We are maintaining a cold and distant relationship with them due to their famously disrespectful ways.
They're famous, you say?
And we've already been warned that they're gossiping about us because of this. I had to request intervention from the police due to them constantly blocking the entrance to my garage. I need to know if there's something polite I can write in my social media feed, which they follow, to the effect of the original homeowners are always remembered for their excellent behavior, respect, good boundaries, and friendly relationships, things that the new owners are completely lacking. We are ignoring them, but they haven't forgotten my call to the police and are constantly gossiping that we're the bad neighbors.
Boy, if it's just gossip...
I don't know.
Consider yourself lucky.
I'd like to disrespect them on social media, but be polite about it. How do I do that? Miss Manners says, just keep ignoring
this
them.
This could escalate.
Right?
What are you doing?
Right? And then finally, am I justified in refusing to speak to certain members of my wife's synagogue due to the grudges I hold against them? Somebody took the time to type this letter out.
It's your grudge. You do what you want with it.
My wife is a synagogue president, which is a highly visible position. She's come across far more people than I ever have. First, she has a so-called friend from her time at Mary Kay.
So-called?
This woman was a pushy lady who once called my father a loser. She denied ever saying that. My spouse says she doesn't believe either of us because she didn't hear the conversation herself.
I don't believe either one of you.
For a time, she insisted that we continue to socialize with this person and her husband, but I refused, and I continue to do so. In addition, my spouse wants me to remain sociable with a couple who came into our home on New Year's Day. I said Happy New Year to both, and they both said absolutely nothing in return. The second couple has never invited us to their residence.
It's never easy for you, is it? It's always. She called my dad a loser.
The second couple has never invited us to their residence. Uh-huh. As synagogue members, I stay away from and will not acknowledge them. My husband saw me in our on-site restaurant. No, the husband and this couple saw me in our on-site restaurant area and tried to initiate a conversation. It took me 3 times to tell him to stay away, and he finally did. He doesn't understand why I stay distant. My spouse doesn't think that he's evil. What's your best advice? I stand my ground and will not allow any of these people to get near me. Am I justified in doing such?
Is he evil?
I said Happy New Year, and they looked at me like they didn't know what that meant. Wow.
You have a tough time, don't you?
Annie Lane says you need to stop finding faults with your wife's friends. Instead of asking if you're justified, how about asking how you and your wife can have nice, harmonious friendships with other members of the synagogue and also maybe spend some one-on-one time with your wife?
That's not what I wanted to hear.
No.
He's evil.
I say Happy New Year and to both of them, and they said nothing in return. They're dead to me. Dead to me. They know what they did. I mean, that's... What is that? How am I expected to...
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Yeah, friendship jail.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
What a trip down memory lane that was. How enjoyable that was to listen to. Thank you for downloading it, subscribing it, and making it all possible.
It was all worthwhile, wasn't it? Really was.
You know, honestly, I feel like I'm a better man now having gone on this journey with you, Darren. Thank you, Darren.
And the fact that we could make it through to the other side.
Here we are. Here we are. It's like Sir Edmund Hillary once told me. He said, Dave, because it's there. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, Mount Everest, you idiot. Oh, is that what we're looking at?
Is that all you talk about is what we said?
You sure like to talk about that mountain a lot, Sir Edmund Hillary. That's it for the top 5 things. Thank you so much for listening. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, you kooks.
And you stay classy and, yes, safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. For the Quad Cities reference spot, Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked, rock out. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bing bong. Goodbye, sir.
And that's how she wrote.
Hoo-wee, what a cliffhanger. Oh boy, oh my. That's a real crazy ending, huh?
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.